This edition of Euphemet is brought to you by Care Of and Empty Faces. Show your support by checking out these great sponsors and keep looking up.
Okay, the situation on the electric chair is this, and it's an interesting deal due to the fact that not everywhere still has the electric chair. KSP is one of the places that still have guys that are on death row long enough to have the kind of nefarious option of electric chair or lethal injection. We had lost the last of the ones that could have choice of firing squad, I think, back in the 50s. You go down onto 15 Walk, which is segregation unit in 3 Cell House. This is one of the oldest cell houses that's still functioning. And you walk down 15 Walk, which is had been where they would set the guys awaiting death row, because at the end of the walk was the death chamber. This is where guys could maybe have private meetings with their ministers or whatnot, maybe visit their mothers or fathers without a bunch of people screaming and cussing and threatening to do all this to your family. Give you a little time to get your stuff together. And also, it was a little tinge of torture in there. You're isolated. All you can do is think about what you did. I'd come in from another institution. I wasn't a fish. It was what you call a new kid. Rookie cookie. My group come in, and there's females and there's some guys. The unit administrator, he said, "Hey, check it out. Look at that. This is part of history here. You know, this is." I started looking around. I was like, "Wow, man, does this thing still work?" So, don't take 5 minutes just to hook up the leads, and it's ready to rock. They come in here and clean it every week. And he kind of read the room, and he was like, "You want to sit in it?" So one of the things is, yes, it's initiatory, if that's a word. And it's also a bit of a weeding out process, to borrow a black flag, turn the weeding out. And of course, you know, a lot of ex-military guys, "Yeah, I sit in it. I ain't scared." They sit down. "Yeah, man. Oh, look at me. I'm frying." You know, kind of like a Green Mile type deal. "Yeah, it's cute." Some of the girls maybe would do it. And some of the guys are like, "Yeah, I'm good." So I'm sitting there gauging it. Well, I'm like, I want to do it, but I want to do it differently. So I'm sitting here, I'm saying, I want to think about what they're thinking about. Kind of like that old Johnny Cash song, you know, about 15 seconds or 15 minutes to go or whatever it was. And I'm counting it down, thinking, okay, you're sitting there. They're lashing your legs, so I pull my legs up against it. They put the thing across your chest. They put the thing on your arm. Put the, you know, the lead. They start putting the skull cap on you. Okay, they're getting ready to do the first run. They turn on the initial thing, so the transformer, that sort of build up power to carry that big jolt. "What are you going to do?" I said, "Well," so I thought back to that time when I saw that thing in my room. Animal brain takes over, a lizard brain. What do you do when something's going to hit you? You flinch up, right? You kind of draw away and tighten up. So I did that. I kind of tightened my body up, and my hands clenched the hand grips. And I sat there for a minute with my eyes closed thinking about it. They're doing other stuff. They're not even really noticing me. Got a real strange, swimmy, deja vu feeling. I said, "Yeah, I'm ready to get up." And I said, that's sobering. You know, because I was one of the few that kind of took it that way. And he said, "Yeah," I said, that's what we're hoping you guys take from it. I mean, this is a life and death job. Death happens here all the time. It can happen, you know, that's just the nature of it. And I was like, man, that seat felt really weird. So I look up under it, and I see all these little dark half moon shapes, semicircles. And I'm like, what would cause that? I'm like, oh, those fingernail prints. But they're not just indentions, they're burnt in to where burnt into the things. Well, I was like, oh God, man, you know. And we went on to go eat at the commissary, sat down and got our little plates, and I go to reach for a napkin, kind of wipe my mouth and smell something, look at the napkin, it's nothing on it. I'm like, I smell my hands. It was a real, it's like if you've ever burnt sugar or caramelized something too much, like burnt honey, it's like that. Or if you burnt like say apple wood or something like that, or maybe baked something in the oven and it fell on the little elements and had that scorched sweet flesh smell, it was like that. and it just ran through me. I use tomato juice. I use lemon juice. I use everything. Use a scrubber on my hands until my fingers almost bled, and I couldn't get that out of my hands for about a week. Coming back from the chair at the time, I felt very on. I felt very, I don't know how to describe it, like connected to the moment. And I'm walking back and I almost felt connected. I mean, I almost felt like something was behind me. And I said, does it always feel like it's down here? He goes, oh, well, yeah, sometimes the AC don't work. I said, no, man, that's not what I'm talking about. And he kind of looked over his shoulder at the other guys and they're back there and he says, oh, yeah, that. I said, yeah, it's pretty much like it all the time. I said, wow. He said, yeah, man, it's one of those things you're going to, you learn to adapt or you get out.
I'm Jim Perry, and you are listening to Euphemet, a show about the unknown and our relationship to it. On this edition, retired prison guard Steve Asher, a paranormal investigator, a son of the South, the keeper of keys, and of tales from inside one of the darkest prisons. Next, on Euphemet. Hey, I wanted to remind you guys about Empty Faces. It's this paranormal investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. From the creators of Hunt a Killer, these guys have reimagined the art of storytelling yet again and drop you right in the middle of a paranormal investigation. They've been featured in BuzzFeed, Fast Company. The editors at Bustle are just writing about them weekly. And it's because Empty Faces is building this cult-like community around interactive investigation. There's forums, secret Facebook groups, podcasts, and live videos to help you through your sleuthing. I can't recommend a membership enough. And if investigating isn't your thing, you probably know someone who does love it. So to help support the show, they've offered a 10% discount code for our listeners, which is tracked to this message. Use the code JIM, J-I-M, and get 10% off. So head on over to emptyfaces.com and register now. Tell them that we sent you. Somewhere behind the old courthouse, through a thicket, poke weeds and low arms of ancient branches, Big Spring Park, once known as the Bottoms, and not unlike most of Western Kentucky, host to a dark history. The Trail of Tears, dirt-poor Civil War soldiers, and hungry, freed slaves. There has, unmistakably, been bloodshed here. But for now, retired prison guard Steve Asher and I are creekside, peering into a deep, dark hole, an abysmal, breathy mouth of the earth, where on this day, the babbling creek is the only thing that finds its home down there, in the cold below.
That's scary.
Well, okay, we're walking up into the mouth of Big Springs. There's, wooden steps that have been fabricated with some lovely graffiti sprayed on it. You gotta love it. And these rocks used to kind of be sort of step rocks. You used to be able to kind of jump across and had to show how tough you were by jumping on. Usually you just hit the moss and bust your ass, but a lot of kids used to come up here and back in the day and they would get up under this ledge. It's almost like a freaky looking Stonehenge-y looking deal, and they would get up under that and hang out and burn one and make out with girls or all three and stuff. But a lot of times I would get under there, like I would get books from the library because I didn't have any game. I really wasn't interested in chicks. First of all, I call them chicks. That's probably helps to explain why I don't. I speak like from the 1970s.
Dig it.
But it was a thing where, coming from a divorced family at seven, I didn't want any part of girls because that means kids, and then you destroy them because that's what you do. You kill what you love. So anyway, I'd come down here and I'd read books. And then I'd sit and listen to the sounds in the caves. And when I was a real scared kid coming up because we'd had some paranormal activity at our home. Me and a friend of mine had went and watched I don't know what it was, man. It was freaking Hellraiser, I think. And I kept picking at him. And you know that scene where it has the face in the box that says, Jesus wept. I would do that, but I'd do it really deep and just creeping them out. Didn't like it. And in this little room, we had like a fan in the window because this is back in the days we didn't have any AC and stuff. Poor. Glad to have the fan. And we had a doorway open because we didn't have doors on our rooms because when I was an infant at this house, there was a real bad fire. And my mom almost couldn't get in to get us out. And they had to kick the door in. And it had scarred her feet really badly. And she'd always tell me that story. So I didn't grow up with, I had zero privacy as a kid. So anyway, I was sitting there and we kept joking about it. Or I kept joking about it. I said, man, it's not cool. It's fine. Yeah, it's funny. Ha ha. You're a funny guy. Quit. So the temperature changed. And it felt like the air was being sucked out instead of blowing in. And you could see it was dark. Because back then, we were living out on Dawson Road. It was still out in county. And it was dark anyway because there was not a lot of street lights. But you could see an outline in the dark, like something darker than dark. I'm sure you've heard that a billion times from people. And you could feel the air, almost like if you're... The visual aid is not going to help you on radio. Like if you put your hand against your mouth against the back of your hand and kind of go... And you feel that coolness drawing off your body. It was like, okay, think of like Deathly Hallows or something where the guys are drawing your soul off of you. It wasn't that intense, guys, but it was that kind of sensation. And this big freaking... Looked like something off a Dio video or like, okay, man. Lame freaking video, but do you remember Rock of Ages where it had the guy in the hood? It was sure. Like that, like that. It was almost clear to the top of the doorway, which was almost 7 foot tall, and it was wide as a door. Big, like, okay, you remember in Princess Bride, I have come for your soul.
Sure.
Okay. They're going to hate me for all these voices, but it was, cat was that big, and it started moving in, not like, he was like, that's the sound you make when something glides in a room. And so I'm like, and he's like, oh God. He's, yeah, I see it, man. It's cool. It's cool. It's not cool. It's not cool at all. But I'm trying to be the dude. So I'm like, and I'm looking around. And he's like, trying to get through the door, trying to get to the window. Calm down, because for us to get across to the window, we have to pass where it's starting to come into the room. So I get on the edge of the bed. We have one of those pool lights right in the middle of the room. So I'm having to get, like, edge out on the thing of it. And for some reason, remember that little that rhyme, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Come to mind. I understand I was young. Scared. I was scared. And that's the thing that my animal brain grabbed. So I started singing that. I pulled the light. I fell back in the bed, covered up, shaking, sweating, scared to death. He's sitting there shaking. Wait a second. The temperature of the room changes. There was a bit of a smell. Like a musky, like into old damp basement smell. We don't have a basement. There's no reason for any of that. And got the covers back. It's gone. You tell your folks that, yeah, seeing stuff. They saw stuff too. You'd see little things going across, not the floorboard like a mouse or something, something along the tops of the walls, going along the corners. You ever heard the thing of don't stand into a doorway either, step away or come in? Which I think probably has more to do about being an eavesdropper, but there was some old myth about if you stand in doorways and corners, that's where demonic things linger, like a spider builds a web in a corner. So anyway, I started researching about this stuff, and I started being the Pugsley Adams kid because I was always a round kid with a little chili bow haircut. Yep. So I started going to the library. So I'm in there getting books on, you know, ghosts and djinns and the rites of Catholic, you know, exorcism and all kinds of everything. ESP, freaking spontaneous combustion, you know, Zulu fertility rites. I wanted, in another life, I probably would have been an okay anthropologist or maybe sociologist. Maybe a proctologist. I don't know. I'm kind of an ass. So, but all that ties in, and this is one of the places I used to would come and read because I kept felt a connection to it. I don't know why, but I did. And I would usually sit with my shoes off. I guess it was called grounding now. I didn't know what I was doing. I was tapping into something sort of primal at the time. I wasn't hip. It felt right. And I go by a lot of gut. I still to this day, I go, if my gut tells me something's wrong, stop that.
What did people think about that? When you're that age?
I didn't tell a lot of people because I was a poor, very poor kid that's just, you know, kept to myself. And then when we did move further out and stuff, still didn't talk to a lot of people, kept it to myself. You know, Hans Holzer, that was my buddy I talked to in those books. To this day, I give credit to Hans Holzer. because he was sort of the guy that opened the doors for me in search of, Leonard Nimoy. But yeah, that's who I went to. Librarians kind of knew it, but it was like that, oh, that's that Asher boy, you know. Everybody ever thought I would grow up to be probably either a serial killer or have like a, I don't know, crazy Uncle Stevie's dungeon or something. Because I was a weird kid. I was a strange kid. And I didn't have a lot of close bonds with people. You know, that thing. He was a real quiet neighbor, but he was really nice. Don't know why we found all those bones in his ceiling. But for whatever reason, I went this way. So, and it's one of these things, I don't want people to think that I see, you know, Haints and boogers, as we call them here. Haints and boogers around every corner and behind every patch of poke. But, you know, there's a lot of dark stories here. And we're going to get to some of those here in just a bit.
Next on Euphemet, we enter the gates of where many never return. And now, a quick word about our sponsor, Care Of. I was recently a guest on Steve Asher's podcast, House of Asher, and may have mentioned how crazy my schedule has become while producing Euphemet. I'm on the road, in planes, in strange vehicles, driving me to haunted locations deep in the woods, all the time. As immersive as I hope Euphemet sounds, I assure you, it's my boots on the ground and my exhausted body out here making miles. It's one of the reasons why I'm so excited to have Care Of as a sponsor. Care Of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamins and supplement packs right to your door. They have this online quiz that asks you about your diet, health goals, and lifestyle choices. It only takes 5 minutes to find out what vitamins and supplements you specifically need. And this process is easy. It's fun and informative. And now to support the show, listeners of Euphemet can get 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins. Visit takecareof.com and enter Euphemet. For me, I now always carry Quick Stick powders when traveling for the show. A pack of Pocket Protector is probiotics to go for immune support, and you don't need water. Tear the stick open and pour it into your mouth. It tastes great, and like everything else with Care Of, is super quick and easy. Another thing I really like about Care Of is they really put honesty first, providing all the research that supports each of their recommendations backed by a scientific advisory board. So remember, for 25% off your first month of personalized Care Of vitamins, visit takecareof.com and enter Euphemet. I hope you take this personally. Daily, with water, that is. Get your supplements where I do. Give Care Of a chance. And now, back to the show. Abandon all hope, ye who enter here. The inscription at the gates of hell from Dante's Inferno. And the same warning seen on a plaque greeting those condemned to serve their time here at the Kentucky State Penitentiary. We stand below this behemoth, known as the Castle on the Cumberland. Fortified, massive stone walls tower above us, keeping us out, but keeping them in. It's a place Steve was lucky to leave alive, but not without leaving a part of himself in there, and a part of this place leaving with him. However, it's not the first time KSP has forced its nature on the Asher family. Hell, it's not even the second.
My grandfather had been an inmate at the Kentucky State Penitentiary, which I'd wrote the book, The Hauntings of the Kentucky State Penitentiary, about, plug, plug. And my father, years later, growing up so rough under him, decided to go the diametric opposite and become a police officer. My dad used to talk about when he would walk to Three Cell House, he would touch the walls, and almost as a ritual, almost as a respect thing, because my father was gone. When I'd walk through, I'd put my hands up across the stones, kind of say, hey, Dad, you know, I'm thinking of you. And so I guess I was connected to that place much deeper than I really ever gave credit for, because I didn't ever think about, well, maybe my grandfather's also, who I never met. He died a month before I was born in 69. And I'm sure we've lost blood in that place. I mean, I know I have, having a fight, you know, breaking up fights and things like that. And yeah, and you get a lot of emotional, there's emotional ups and downs there. In the control center, you have multiple monitors showing the front and back of each walk. It goes up. It's like if you take like a Scooby-Doo sandwich, you cut it in half and you open it. You're going to have X amount of slices this way, X amount of slices this way. This is prison side. This is riverside, which faces that water that we saw. Down the center is the pipe chases, which is a series that's inside the walls that you climb up and have to check, make sure nobody's trying to climb out or found some way of passing notes around cells and under toilets, and they're crafty. So I was in there working, and this was evening, on evening shift, nobody was out, and it was almost shift change around 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I had an older officer. He was running up doing this and that, and I would notice like little it almost looked like a mirage, like off a hot ground where it looks kind of fluttery, and it would stop. Okay, well, I'd change the contrast a little bit, and things would go away, and it would come back, and I was like, man, it's just really weird. Didn't do it anywhere else, just on 20 walk, 20 river, which is at the bottom, which is adjacent to the showers and all that. Which, and I was thinking, well, maybe someone's been taking a shower, but it's like they stopped taking showers well before like 6 or so. So there should have been no steam, there should be no condensation, there should be no, because I'm trying to troubleshoot it, because who wants to think that you're seeing something creepy? I'm sitting in there, and I was like, hey, I asked him, hey, everything cool? Yeah, things are okay. And I'm looking at the screens, everything good? Yeah, it's fine. Everything quiet downstairs? Yeah. So this keeps going on. And then it gets very dark, almost like, if you've ever looked at a mirror, I don't know if you've ever scryed or anything, the outlines of the mirror start kind of flickery and almost ripply and fade dark, like tunnel vision. It was like that, but it was on the screen. I'm like, man, something's wrong with the screen. But then where that ripple was, a small white, almost like a vortex. I can't call it anything else. It wasn't like a tornado, but it was like a remember turning like the old televisions off and on, and they go white, but it was in the reverse. And it looked like it was about the size of a basketball. And then it got bigger, about the size of like a small, not like a, they had a fish concert beach ball, not something huge, but like a regular beach ball. And this wasn't an orb. This wasn't a dust thing. This thing was illuminated, almost like you had plasma inside of a contained, like a piece of glass, almost like a fluorescent bulb, like a gas-powered fluorescent bulb. And it sat there, and it would kind of, you could see the stuff swirling. It was really odd. It was beautiful in a way. And it was sort of dim and brighten, and it started kind of coming down the wall. First I thought it was growing, but then I could see where it was lighting up the walls, but it wasn't casting any reflection. It was like it was there, but it wasn't there. And I see this thing. Now this guy is up on the top floors, and it's getting a little bit closer, and it gets to doing sort of a figure eight, almost like you hear like a will-o-wisp or swamp gas or something that they claim is there. Well, I go, hey, where are you at? Because you're really not supposed to talk on the radio overnight. I say, hey, do me a favor. Make sure to check the gates on 20 Walk. I just made up here. Make sure it's locked. I don't want to go, I think there's a spook. So he's getting ready to come down. He's about 2 or 3 walks from it. This thing starts really going. And then it kind of does like a whoop, like toward the camera back, and then goes zoom off to the right, and it had a tail, almost like a comet. It was so bright, the camera went black for a second, then would come back on. Like it totally killed the camera. Nothing. Completely gone. I said, yeah, check that. And I said, do me a favor, make sure that nobody has a crock pot on or something, or somebody, make sure somebody getting a laser pointer or something. I'm trying to think of anything to do. Said, yeah, everything's fine. So, oh, sorry, Ash, what's up? I said, oh, it's nothing. I don't mean to curse, but don't bullshit me. What's going on? I mean, if something weird, I need to know, or something scary, or something, a threat. I said, no, I said, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. He said, try me. And I said, yeah, and this, and the light, and the whoop whoop, and it ripping, whoosh, and there goes the camera. And he went, yeah, sounds right. I went, oh, man, don't play with me. He says, no. No, that happens. He said, not everybody sees that. He said, some people see it. Some people see it, don't talk about it. Very few, like yourself, have seen it and talk about it. And I said, you know, so don't think I'm nuts. No, I've seen it. And I went, well, what happened? Why? I said, that used to be Death Walk. And there's been murders that happened down on the far ends at let outs. You have three or four men deep. You can't see the back. People take each other out. And there's also been murders in the showers just adjacent to it. And also, that was where the place wasn't vented properly. And all the methane gas coming there killed a lot of people. And I said, but there's not methane gas now, right? He said, no. I mean, it's state-of-the-art stuff compared to then. And I said, wow. He said, yeah, welcome to KSP, kid. And that's when I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is something. I'm like working in a haunted house, but with violent murderers.
Hey, I just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening and to maybe ask a quick favor. Can you take a few minutes and rate, review, and subscribe to this show on iTunes? If so, you are doing me and everyone else at Euphemet a huge solid. And it's not quite esoteric knowledge that the more reviews we get, the more visible we become, and the more stories we are able to share. I really believe in what we are doing with this project, sharing human-centric experiences involving the anomalous. These stories and voices need to be heard, and because of your involvement, we get to embed ourselves into these narratives and share all that we learn, share all that we experience. So thank you in advance for rating, reviewing, and subscribing. Let's get back to the show. Since you've been into the paranormal for a long time, since you were a kid. When you got the job here, was there a part of you that kind of geeked out a little bit in terms of like what you may find?
Okay. Well, I'll say this. I'll have to turn that one around. It was the paranormal that got into me. I was cool, you know, watching Captain Kangaroo and eating Kaboom cereal. When shadows and weird stuff started happening around me, I had to learn to adapt. You ever seen like when those guys on Dateline come in, you know, he's coming in as an inmate, he's undercover, I'm coming in here, I'm a guard, I'm this and that. They had no clue of my paranormal interest. And I treated it like my own little sociological, anthropological study. And
you were an undercover ghost investigator.
More or less. Once people kind of got hip, because, you know, I didn't write the book until after I left, people started to be like, well, man, that's kind of weird. I've seen a few things, and once they realized I was cool with it, then they said, well, Asher's okay. He's not a flake. And then that's when the stories come to me. And then that's when you started kind of getting like a little circle of people going, hey, man, you know, have you heard about this one? Did you see this one? Well, you should talk to Officer blah, blah, blah. Or even some of the inmates. And inmates opened up to me. And so that's where I kind of became resident authority for whatever that's worth. And I had a friend of mine. I'll just tell his name is Morgan. And he called me and he said, yo, Asher, I'm tripping out. I said, where are you working? Infirmary. I said, okay. I said, so let's talk about these steps. He said, okay, let me ask you. Walking behind you or in front of you? He said, behind me. I said, okay, well, that's okay then. It's okay then. I said, let me ask you on the type of boots. It wasn't regular boots, right? He says, no, and I was trying to understand it. It was almost like a, I don't know if it was a cane, but it clicked at the same time. I said, no, how about more like a wooden-heeled boot? He said, that's exactly what it sounded like. That's old convict boots. I said, okay. I said, what about anything else? I was starting to hear smacking, and I thought something was hitting the side of it, but it's the locks. I said, yeah, that's red. He said, who the f*** is red? And I told him the story. He said, he ain't going to hurt you. He's actually trying to help you. I said, go, do your next round, and just go. All right, Red, we got it. Appreciate you. Go lay down. We got it for tonight, man. And he said, what? I said, trust me. He went out and did it. Called back 40 minutes later. I said, well, I'll be damned at it. It's left me alone. He said, it's gone. I said, oh, no, it's there. But it's not bothering you. Just trying to make sure you're doing your job. It's the nature of the place, man. And some people can't give their job up. I've lost friends here. You know, I had a friend on a team who was dealing a lot of stuff here. A lot of stuff he felt like it was oppressing him. He was I call him, he's my good little Catholic boy. I was talking to him one day, and I said, hey, man, we need to talk. Let's hang out, because he'd been really distant for a few days. I said, man, we need to talk, man. You're my buddy. You know, I call everybody brothers, my buddies. Hey, my brother, you know. I said, okay, man, we'll get together. Went home, and he went to his bedroom, put his toe in a shotgun, took his face and head off. And I got out of the paranormal research for a long time, and I can't help but think about him, because he'd worked fourth floor, and we'd sit and talk. It's hard. It's hard. Because, I mean, a lot of people have this paranormal trip, and it's like, it's cool, and it's sexy, and it's freeze-frame it, and we all got matching shirts, and it's a laugh. It's Laugh Olympics. It's fun, man, but there's some really dark shit that comes along with it. And I hate losing people. I've lost my grandparents, my parents, two children. I'm done losing people. But I still have the paranormal, because it's, you know, you never know. I might hear from those folks again sometime. Working in a penitentiary affects people different ways. You know, some people come in, be they visit, be it they work here, be it they whatever, they leave, and it just was what it was. They digest it, they shit and purge it, and they go into their next, you know, phase of life, onto the next vibrational plane, as it were. Some people come in here, and it catches them, it snags on them, and it affects them, distorts them, warps them to a certain point, opens them up sometimes. And then there's a contingent of us that never leave, be it physically, mentally, spiritually. You're stuck here. You're damned.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Euphemet. To learn more about Steve Asher's work, including his book on the Kentucky State Penitentiary, visit steveeasher.com. I'd like to thank Care Of and Empty Faces for their support. Please check out their offers in our show notes and take advantage of these really great partners to the show. Make sure to also join us on Facebook. Our group, the Society of Euphemet, is where myself and listeners go to share their own experiences and talk about the show. You can follow us at Euphemet on social media, and me at It's Jim Perry on Twitter and Instagram. And please remember to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. This has been Euphemet. I'm Jim Perry. And until next time, keep looking up. To talk to you real quick about Empty Faces. It's this paranormal investigation delivered right to your doorstep each month. From the creators of Hunt a Killer, these guys have reimagined the art of storytelling yet again and drop you right in the middle of a paranormal investigation for you to discover a universe and find answers to the unexplained. You join by visiting emptyfaces.com and applying for membership. They're growing so fast they've limited their membership to 500 each week. If you're accepted, you'll receive an email with a private link to complete your registration. From there, a package arrives on your doorstep each month, filled with physical items and correspondence that have to be decoded, deciphered, and investigated to unravel the story. And there's forums, secret Facebook groups, podcasts, and live videos to help you through your sleuthing. They've been featured in BuzzFeed, Fast Company, hell, the editors at Bustle are writing weekly about their journey, and it's because Empty Faces is building this cult-like community around their interactive investigation. I can't recommend this membership enough, and if investigating isn't your thing, you probably know someone who would love this as a gift. To help support our show, they've offered a 10% discount for our listeners, which is tracked to this message. Use the code JIM and get 10% off. That's JIM, J-I-M, for 10% off your first month. And if serial killers are more your thing, check out huntakiller.com and use the same discount code, Jim. So head on over to emptyfaces.com and register now. Tell them Euphemet sent you.